Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Well, thank you for that, those gifts. Thank you, Kiki, for holding the bucket. So tonight I'm going to talk about, and it kind of threw me off. I forgot this was the fifth Saturday. So fifth Saturday, but no fifth Sunday. So we're going to be, I guess I won't be preaching tomorrow. But so those that have been, let's pray before I get started. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. We thank you for transforming our lives from darkness to light, bringing us from death into the life of your Son. And so, Lord, I pray that as I open your word, that you would speak to our hearts, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying in this season, in this time, in this hour, in this place. Thank you for all that are here. Bless them, Lord God. Meet every need. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. And I just want you guys all to know, if you haven't seen her, Jane and Unique are back. I think she called Anastasia today and said she wasn't feeling that well. So she should probably be here tomorrow, but they are back. So thank God for that. But, you know, we've been on this journey this year trying to draw closer to the Lord and see God do greater things in our lives and individually, in the ministry, collectively, and also in the neighborhood generally. And it all centers around the concept of submission. And so I'm going to just kind of share a few things about submission and what it means to submit to God. And so that's where we're going to do. So the first slide talks about what submission is. And it's a long definition. And I took out some of it. The Greek word for submission is hupotasso, which doesn't really have any meaning to us because we're not Greeks. But the word in Greek means to stand under someone, which means that they are over you. And the general definition of submission is to to yield or surrender oneself to the will or authority of another. To give in to the authority, power, or desires of another. To allow oneself to be subjected to something or someone. And the thing that shows up in that definition is that submission is a choice. It is not if you do it by force, that's not submission, that's subjugation. So when somebody tries to make you do something, they're trying to override your will. But in God's plan, it's all about our will cooperating with His will. We all know the Lord's Prayer that it says, Lord, our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our God's desire has always been to get us to surrender and submit to his will willingly and without compulsion. Amen? One of the challenges, of course, is that even before the fall, a lot of times we think of submission as a post-fall thing that we have to do, but Adam and Eve were required to submit to the word of God. They were told what to do, they were given a command, and they were supposed to submit to that command and follow what God said. But as we know, that they didn't do that. But ever since then, God has been trying to get the human race to submit to him willingly. Everybody say willingly. Because without willing submission, God cannot use us. And it's very, you know, a lot of you always hear people say stuff like, oh, people are trying to force Jesus down our throats. But the reality of that is that that is not even possible. You have to personally acknowledge your need of Jesus. Now, people talk about Jesus and people's presentation of Christ might be different. I mean, I go down, if you go down to the Mariners game, there's a guy that has a big sign in the front of the stadium, and I think it says, repent, or whatever, or it talks about sin and all those things, and he's carrying his sign, and most people would say, well, he's trying to make us turn. No, he's just the messenger. You don't have to read the sign. You don't have to do what the sign says. He doesn't have a gun on you. He's just telling you what it is. Now, the problem is when people talk about sinners and are you going to go to hell, nobody wants to hear that. So they say that, oh, you're trying to force your religion on us by scaring us. But no, it doesn't matter if you're afraid. You still have to use your personal will to accept, acknowledge, and receive what Jesus has for us. It doesn't matter what people say or do. And that's why even when Jesus told his disciples, people will bring you to in front of courts and they'll command that you deny Jesus. And he says, and those that deny me, he will deny. But those that acknowledge me, that he would also acknowledge. That's a paraphrase. But the point was, even under the threat of death or violence, Jesus expects us to act on our will and agree that we want to do God's will, even if it costs us our life. So submission is a willing thing, amen? And we see in the New Covenant right away that the book is introduced by, especially in the book of Luke, by the submission of Mary. Now, when Luke's book opens up, it starts with John the Baptist's father and mother, Elizabeth and Zacharias, I believe it is. And there, Zacharias is a priest or of the priestly order of the Levitical order, so he has a job in the temple to do. And an angel comes to him and tells him that he's going to have a child. And we're not privy to John's father's facial expression or his body language. All we hear is that, how is this going to be? And then the angel tells him, God told me to tell you this, and because you didn't believe it, you're going to be dumb and not be able to speak until it takes place. And so, but Mary, when he goes to Mary and makes the announcement that Jesus is going to be born, she asks the same question. How is this going to be? Now, you might ask yourself, she probably has a bigger question because she's not married. He's telling her she's going to have a baby. Whereas at least Zacchaeus and Elizabeth, they were married, or Zachariah and Elizabeth were married. But they were old, kind of like Abraham and Sarah. But Mary says to Jesus, or the angel, be it unto your handmaiden just as you say. And by that, she submitted herself willingly to be the body in which Jesus comes, is born through. And she now becomes a very important person in the plan of God's salvation. But it's all about her submission. And we know that Jesus, when he comes, first of all, Jesus submitted to the plan to come to earth. First of all, because he was God in heaven. He didn't need to be the Savior, but this was God's plan. And knowing God's plan, he willingly, the Bible says, he laid down his deity, or he laid down his glory in heaven, came to earth and submitted to become a human being. I mean, think about that. Just to for Jesus to become a man is the ultimate in submission. And then not only did he submit to the plan that God had to making him a human being, he then had to submit to his parents. And the Bible says that in when he was lost on the day, or on the when they went to the Passover in Jerusalem, he got lost in the, well, actually he didn't get lost, he was in the temple, and they left him there. And they came back and says, didn't you know that we were looking for you? And he says, didn't you know I'd be here doing my father's business? But the, right after that, the Bible says, but he went down with his parents and submitted to them. Jesus had to submit even though he was God. I mean, think about that. That concept is almost mind-blowing. Because the God of the universe submits to people that are not even righteous. Well, they're righteous because they believe, but they're not, they're born sinners. Amen? Then Jesus had to submit to the Word of God. We know the temptation and how the devil tried to get him to act on his own will. And he constantly said to the devil, it is written. It is written. It is written. That's submitting to the authority of the Word. Not allowing your own mind to tell you what to do, but allowing the Word by the Spirit to instruct you on what you should do. Now this is, and I'm going to just take a little spark a little bit here. This is a challenge for every believer. Because we all, I'm going to say it like this. We all think we know best. We all think we have the better idea. But it takes the revelation of God to teach us that we don't have the best idea, and that only God has the best idea, and we need to take heed to his plan and not lean on our own understanding. I mean, and that's the beauty of Scripture. It doesn't deny that we have an understanding. But he says, but don't lean on it. Don't rely on it. Don't depend on it. Depend on what God says and not what you think. Because even as believers, we have not mastered this. This is why we have so much friction in the body. We all want to share our opinions. I listened to one of those Bible answer shows where people call in and they ask questions. And, you know, that's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a good thing if you're going to not understand. But sometimes I'm amazed at the questions people ask. And then also the opinions that they have. And it's like, wow, where did they get that? But that's because we have a tendency to lean on our own understanding.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197. To let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
In order to submit to God, we have to lean on his word. And the whole process of sanctification or salvation or however you want to term it is for us to learn to trust God over our own understanding. And that's a lifelong journey. That's not something we get 10 years ago. Yeah, say, yeah, on September 24th, 1975, I stopped leaning on my own understanding. It doesn't happen like that. I wish it did, because then we could progress a lot further. But every day we have to be careful not to lean on our understanding. And that's a form of submission. It's a submission to the Word of God. Now, one of the things that I noticed, I was planning to do a message on surrender, but as I was looking through as I did the word search for surrender, the word surrender is not in the Bible a lot. There are words that mean surrender, which submission, but there's a lot of reference to submission, which is the same, because in order to surrender, what do you have to do? You have to submit. And so in order for us to see God do what we want him to do in our individual lives and in our corporate life and in the church as a whole, we have to be people of submission. And submission is contrary to the fallen nature of the human race. I was even thinking about this in the area of communication. One of the most difficult things in the human race is for people to communicate effectively with one another. And one of the reasons why is because we all want to share our opinions, and we really don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. We almost, and I've done this myself, especially if I'm in a heated discussion, not even necessarily an argument, but it's just a heated discussion, I don't really even listen to them. I'm just waiting for them to stop talking so I can put my two cents in there. And that's not a prescription for good communication. A prescription for good communication is to learn to submit to the statements of the other person and accept it. Now, it doesn't mean it's right. But the goal of communication is understanding. Everybody say understanding. So in order to understand somebody, you have to submit to them. And you have to submit to their way of communicating. And as I was going through this, God shared that with me. And I was like, wow, I never even thought about that. Submission comes in so many different forms. And so even in the area of communication, as you guys know, we've been sending out a marriage book. And it's called If He Only Knew, and it's pointed towards the men and how men need to learn to deal with or address their wives. But it's all about, really, you know, a lot of times when we think of marriage and husbands, the Bible tells us the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. But think about this. In order for us, Jesus, to love us, he had to come down to our level, which is another way of saying submit. So even as the head, men, and this is where your ego has to be put aside, you have to come down off of what you believe is right and go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Stop leaning on your own understanding and trust in the Lord to help you understand and to love your own spouse. You know, the traditional thing about marriage was that, well, the husband says whatever happens in the house and that's just it. The husband is the law. I mean, even in many countries today, that's the way it is. If the husband doesn't like the wife anymore, he goes. But that's not even biblical headship. That's domination. That's being a tyrant. Because if you're supposed to love, and the Bible doesn't just say just love your wife, it says love your wife as your own self. He said, then, well, he didn't say it this way. He says it like this. No person has ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it. Then he says, so must the husband love the wife. So if you're a tyrant in your home, you're not nourishing and cherishing. You're only allowing your will to be done. And the prayer is not my will, but thy will be done. So submission covers so many areas, and I'm just touching on a few, and we'll probably come back to this later because I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time tonight on it, but I just wanted to introduce it. But I want to introduce a few points that deal with submission. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. So all believers, everybody say all believers, are called to submit one to another. And so let's read 1 Peter 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Okay? But then he says, yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. So what does that mean? And it says, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submission, humility, surrender, all work together. They're an acknowledgement of our dependence upon God and not our reliance upon ourselves. We have to surrender or submit. In order to help somebody, you have to come down or submit to them to understand what their needs are. In order to preach the gospel, you have to not lean on your own understanding, but you have to try and touch the person where they are so that the gospel can penetrate where they need to be ministered to in their own hearts. Now, obviously, that is the work of the Spirit, but the Spirit directs us on how to communicate. But we cannot be high-minded and haughty and portray and proclaim the gospel properly. Amen? In other words, you can't always be talking down on at people. You know, you're just a terrible person, and if you don't get right, hell is your destination. All that is true. But that's not how you're going to, that's not going to prick their part, and, you know. Who knows, maybe God will use your foolishness anyway. Because sometimes he, even beside us, he does things that only he could do. But it's we're supposed to sympathize or empathize with those. To remember, see, one of the things that I always say this, just remember where you were when you were not saved. And if you remember what you were like, then chances are you can understand where that what they're going through. But if you're acting like, no, man, I wasn't like that. I never was that bad. You know, you'll never understand where people are. No, you may not go through exactly the same thing, but remember how you felt when you know you needed Jesus in your life. I mean, I remember when I was struck with I guess it was the revelation that I needed to be saved. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, all the years of going to church, I finally came to realize, man, I need Jesus. And I need to figure out how to get saved because I need to get saved. And that's what we want to draw people. But going back to this point, submit yourselves to one another. Be humble. Be welcoming. That's how you really welcome people. When you're humble, when you're meek, when you're, the Bible calls it even lowly, when you're, I call it approachable. Always attempt to be approachable. You know, the thing about me being a lawyer, a lot of people, they have a perception of me. If I tell them I'm a lawyer, they have this automatic perception. So I usually don't tell people I'm a lawyer unless they ask me. I was in a I had a court hearing yesterday, and I was standing in line. And usually the lawyers are the ones that are in the suit, so it's usually it tells on you because nobody else dresses up hardly anymore. And so there's this guy comes up to me, hey, are you a lawyer? I need to do this. Can you do this? And I said, well, I don't really do that. Then another lady comes to me and says, hey, are you a lawyer? I need to do that and do this. I say, yeah, I do that. But people have a perception that lawyers are not approachable because they're so smart. They're so, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that lawyers are. Lawyers are just people like everybody else. They think they are up there, but I always want people to know that I'm approachable no matter where I am. And that's part of me humbling myself. So God says we need to submit to one another and be clothed with humility because he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The next thing is that we need to learn to submit to proper church authority. Now, this is an interesting one because the church has its own authority and aside from the government. We're also commanded to submit to governmental authority, proper governmental. And I qualify it by the word proper because there are improper church authorities and just as there are improper governmental authorities. And the test is you submit to proper church or governmental authority up until the point they cross the line of following God's will. Just like Peter and John, when they were arrested for healing the man at the gate of the temple, and they were commanded by the Sanhedrin, which was their religious authority at that time, even though they were believers, they were still under the Jewish system. And they were commanded not to speak in Jesus' name. And they said to them, well, we have to obey God rather than men. So when religious authority tries to transcend the scriptural or biblical authority God has given them, then they lose their right for you to submit to that authority. Then you have to submit to the will of God. But people have to be careful because a lot of people are always looking for a reason to rebel against authority, but it's actually just the opposite. We have to look for a reason to submit. And if they don't give us that reason, then we have to continue to submit to God, but we don't have to submit to unauthorized or improper authority. And that goes for governmental authority. That's why when groups try to tell us that we shouldn't be praying or we shouldn't be doing this or we shouldn't be reading the Bible. We haven't experienced that in America fully, although there is some of that in the public school arena. You can't have a Bible at school or can't wear a Jesus Saves t-shirt and all that kind of stuff. But until they get to the place where they try to keep us from worshiping God, we are supposed to submit to authority. So these are the three, and I'm going to stop here, and we'll pick up with some other things. But the believer's life is about submission. It's about surrender. Because of the fall, God is constantly trying to get us to exercise our will to follow him willingly and not by compulsion. He even tells us don't even give under compulsion, but give willingly. So I'm going to leave it there and I'm just going to stop. And also I had a couple prayer requests. Jane said for us to pray for her grandson. She didn't tell us which one, but so we'll just pray for anybody have a prayer request before we dismiss any prayer requests out there? No? Well, let's stand. We'll pray. And then, oh, well, you do? Okay.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us
online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.